The Smashing Pumpkins, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, at en.wikipedia.org. The Smashing Pumpkins are an American alternative rock band that formed in Chicago in 1988. While the group has gone through several lineup changes, the Smashing Pumpkins consisted of Billy Corgan, James Ia, D'Arcy Retzky, Jimmy Chamberlin for most of the band's recording career. Disavowing the punk rock roots shared by many of their alt-rock contemporaries, the Pumpkins have a diverse, densely layered, and guitar-heavy sound, containing elements of gothic rock, heavy metal, dream pop, psychedelic rock, progressive rock, shoegazer-style production, and in later recordings, electronica. Frontman Billy Corgan is the group's primary songwriter. His grand musical ambitions and cathartic lyrics have shaped the band's albums and songs, which have been described as, quote, anguished, bruised reports from Billy Corgan's nightmare land, end quote. The Smashing Pumpkins broke into the musical mainstream with their second album, 1993's Siamese Dream. The group built their audience with extensive touring and their follow-up 1995's double album, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, debuted at number one on the Billboard charts. With approximately 18.3 million albums sold in the United States alone as of 2006, the Smashing Pumpkins were one of the most commercially successful and critically acclaimed bands of the 1990s. However, internal fighting, drug use, and diminishing sales hampered the band and led to a 2000 breakup. In April 2006, the band officially announced that they were reuniting and recording a new album. Returning members Billy Corgan and Jimmy Chamberlin were joined by new additions Jeff Schroeder, Ginger Reyes, and Lisa Harrington in 2007 to tour behind their new released Zeitgeist. 1. History. The early years, 88 to 91. At the age of 19, singer and guitarist Billy Corgan left his native Chicago, Illinois, moving to St. Petersburg, Florida with his gothic rock band The Marked. The band had limited success and quickly broke up. Corgan returned to Chicago, taking a job in a record store. While working there, he met guitarist James Ia. Adorning themselves with paisley and other psychedelic trappings, the two began writing songs together with the aid of a drum machine that were heavily influenced by The Cure and New Order. Corgan met bassist D'Arcy Retzky in 1988 after a show by the Dan Reed Network, where they argued the merits of the band. After finding out Retzky played bass, Corgan stated his band's need for a bassist and gave Retzky his telephone number. Retzky soon joined the band, and she and Ia later had a short-lived romance. The first performance of The Smashing Pumpkins was on the 9th of July, 1988, at the Polish Bar, Chicago 21. This performance included only Corgan and Ia with the drum machine. On the 10th of August, 1988, the band played for the first time as a trio at the Avalon Nightclub. After this show, Cabaret Metro owner Joe Shannon agreed to book the band on the condition that they replace the drum machine with a live drummer. Jazz drummer Jimmy Chamberlin was recruited for the band after a recommendation from a friend of Corgan's. Chamberlin was at first an unlikely match, as he knew nothing of alternative rock at the time. As Corgan recalled of the period, quote, "We were completely into the sad rock Cure kind of thing. It took about two or three practices before I realized that the power in his playing was something that enabled us to rock harder than we could ever have imagined." On the 5th of October, 1988, the complete band took the stage for the first time at the Cabaret Metro. Although not an official member of the band at this point, Chamberlin would soon be announced as such, and the complete four-person lineup from this first show at the Metro would be unchanged for the next 7 years. In 1989, the group had recorded a handful of demo tapes, which appeared later on the bootleg release, Early 1989 Demos. The Pumpkins made their first appearance on vinyl that same year in the compilation album Light Into Dark, which featured several Chicago alternative bands. They released their first record, a limited edition single of I Am One, in 1990 on local Chicago label Limited Potential. The single sold out, and they released another single, Tristessa, on Sub Pop, after which they signed to Caroline Records. The Smashing Pumpkins recorded their 1991 debut album, Geesh, with producer Butch Vig at his Smart Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, for $20,000. In order to gain the consistency he desired, Corgan often played all instruments save drums, which created tension in the band. The music fused heavy metal guitars, psychedelia, and dream pop, garnering them comparisons to Jane's Addiction. Geesh became a minor success, with the single Rhinoceros receiving some airplay on modern rock radio. After releasing the Lull EP in October 1991 on Caroline Records, the band formally signed with Virgin Records, which was affiliated with Caroline. The band supported the album with a tour that included opening for bands such as the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Jane's Addiction, and Guns N' Roses. During the tour, Ia and Retzky went through a messy breakup, Chamberlain became addicted to narcotics and alcohol, and Corgan entered a deep depression, writing some songs for the upcoming album in the parking garage where he lived at the time. Mainstream success, 1992-1994. With the breakthrough of alternative rock into the American mainstream due to the popularity of grunge bands such as Nirvana and Pearl Jam, the Smashing Pumpkins were poised for major commercial success. At this time, and amid their protests, the Pumpkins were routinely lumped in with the grunge movement. In a Halloween Night interview on MTV's 120 Minutes in 1993, Corgan remarked, quote, "We've graduated now from being called the next Jane's Addiction to the next Nirvana. Now, we're the next Pearl Jam," end quote. The group nevertheless contributed the song Drown to the platinum-selling soundtrack of the 1992 movie Singles, a film set in the Seattle grunge music scene. Corgan said that in the wake of Nirvana's landmark 1991 album Nevermind, quote, "We felt a great pressure that if we didn't come up with a record that was huge, we were done. It was that simple in our minds. We felt like our lives depended on it," end quote. Corgan's depression deepened to the point where he contemplated suicide. To counteract his depression, Corgan worked overtime, saying he practically lived in the studio for the 1993 follow-up album Siamese Dream. The album was recorded at Triclops Sound Studios in Atlanta, Georgia, mostly between December 1992 and March 1993. The band lived in Marietta during the sessions, as Butch Vig reprised his role as producer. The decision to record so far away from their hometown was motivated partly by the band's desire to avoid local friends and distractions during the recording, but largely as a desperate attempt to cut Chamberlain off from his known drug connections. In this respect, the strategy failed, as Chamberlain quickly managed to find new connections and often was absent without any contact for days at a time. The recording environment was very difficult, and the band fought constantly. The contemporary music press portrayed Corgan as a tyrant during the recording sessions. Corgan admitted there was some truth to the accusations, though he felt the press misunderstood the situation. Rumors circulated that he had recorded all the guitar and bass parts himself. It was never confirmed exactly how much each member participated on the album. Corgan did say he performed a majority of the guitar work, but only because he could record tracks and parts in far fewer takes. In all, it took over 4 months to complete the record, with the budget exceeding $250,000. Despite all the problems in its recording, Siamese Dream debuted at number 10 on the Billboard charts and sold over 4 million copies in the U.S. alone. MTV put the videos for the songs Today and Disarm into heavy rotation, garnering the Pumpkins' international attention. While the Pumpkins were successful, they were not universally adored by the alternative rock community. Participants in the indie scene had derided the band as careerists since their early days. Indie rock band Pavement's 1994 song, Range Life, refers to the band with the lines, quote, "I don't understand what they mean, and I could really give a fuck," end quote, which have been widely interpreted as an insult. Although Stephen Malnus, leader of Pavement, has stated, quote, "I never dissed their music, just dissed their status," end quote. Former Husker Du frontman Bob Mould called them the Grunge Monkeys, and fellow Chicago musician-producer Steve Albini wrote a scathing letter in response to an article praising the band. He countered that the Pumpkins were no more alternative than REO Speedwagon, and said they were created, quote, "by, of, and for the mainstream," and stylistically appropriate for the current college party scene, but ultimately insignificant, end quote. Others, such as Courtney Love of Hole, who dated Corgan before marrying Nirvana's Kurt Cobain, were vocal supporters of the band. In 1994, Virgin released the B-Sides Rarities compilation, Pisces Iscariot, which outperformed Siamese Dream by reaching number 4 on the Billboard charts. Also released was a VHS cassette titled Vuforia, featuring a mix of live performances and behind-the-scenes footage. Following relentless touring to support the recordings, including headline slots in the 1994 Lollapalooza tour and at Reading Festival in 1995, the band took time off to write the follow-up album. Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, 1995-1997. Corgan worked non-stop over the next year, and wrote, according to statements in interviews, about 56 songs for the next album. Following the spell of concentrated creativity, the Pumpkins went back into the studio with producers Flood and Alan Moulder to work on what Corgan described as, quote, the wall for Generation X, end quote, a comparison with Pink Floyd's famous 2-LP concept album. The result was Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, a double album featuring 28 songs and lasting over 2 hours. The vinyl version of the album contained 3 records, 2 extra songs, and an alternate track listing. The songs were intended to hang together conceptually as a symbol of the cycle of life and death, praised by Time as, quote, the group's most ambitious and accomplished work yet, end quote. Melancholy debuted at number 1 on the Billboard's chart in October 1995. Even more successful than Siamese Dream, it was certified 9 times platinum in the United States and became the best-selling double album of the decade to date. It also garnered 1997 Grammy Award nominations, including Album of the Year. The band won only the Best Hard Rock Performance Award for the album's lead single Bullet with Butterfly Wings. The album spawned 5 singles, Bullet with Butterfly Wings, 1979, Zero, Tonight Tonight, and 33, of which the first 3 were certified gold and all but Zero entered the top 40. Many of the remaining songs that did not make it onto Melancholy were released as B-sides to the singles, and were eventually compiled in the Aeroplane Flies High box set. As a testament to the band's popularity, Virgin Records originally intended to limit the set to 200,000 copies, but produced more after the original run sold out due to overwhelming demand. In 1996, the Pumpkins embarked on an extended world tour in support of Melancholy. Corgan's look during this period, a shaved head, a long-sleeved black shirt with the word Zero printed on it, and silver pants, became iconic. That year, the band also made a guest appearance in an episode of The Simpsons, Homerpalooza, with considerable video rotation on MTV, major industry awards, and Zero shirts selling in many malls, the Pumpkins were considered one of the most popular bands of the time. But the year was far from entirely positive for the band. In May, the Smashing Pumpkins played a gig at the Point Theatre in Dublin, Ireland. The venue was overcrowded, and despite the band's repeated requests for moshing to stop, a 17-year-old fan named Bernadette O'Brien was crushed to death. The concert ended early, and the following night's performance in Belfast was cancelled out of respect for her. However, while Corgan maintained that moshing's, quote, time had come and gone, end quote, the band would continue to request open-floor concerts throughout the rest of the tour. The band suffered a personal tragedy on the night of the 11th of July, 1996, when touring keyboardist Jonathan Melvoin and Chamberlain overdosed on heroin in a hotel room in New York City. Melvoin died, and Chamberlain was arrested for drug possession. A few days later, the band announced that Chamberlain had been fired as a result of the incident. The Pumpkins chose to finish the tour with another drummer and keyboardist, a decision that Corgan later said was the worst the band had ever made, damaging both their music and their reputation. Meanwhile, the band had given interviews since the release of Melancholy, stating it would be the last conventional Pumpkins record, and that rock was becoming stale. James Iha said at the end of 1996, quote, the future is in electronic music. It really seems boring just to play rock music, end quote. Adore, Machina, and Breakup, 1998-2000. After the release of Melancholy, the Pumpkins contributed multiple songs to various compilations. Released in early 1997, the song I relied almost exclusively on electronic instruments and signaled a drastic shift from the Pumpkins' previous musical styles. At the time, Corgan stated his, quote, idea was to reconfigure the focus and get away from the classic guitars based drum rock format, end quote. Later that year, the group contributed The End Is the Beginning Is the End to the soundtrack for the film Batman and Robin, With Matt Walker on drums, the song featured a heavy sound similar to Bullet with Butterfly Wings, while still having a strong electronic influence. The song later won the 1998 Grammy for Best Hard Rock Performance, though Corgan announced that the song represented the sound people could expect from the band in the future. The band's next album would feature few guitar-driven songs. Recorded following the death of Corgan's mother and his divorce, 1998's Adore represents a significant change of style from the Pumpkins' previous guitar-based rock, veering into electronica. The record, cut with assistance from studio drummers and drum machines, was infused with a darker aesthetic than much of the band's earlier work. The group also modified its public image, shedding its alternative hipster look for a more subdued appearance. Although Adore received favorable reviews and was nominated for Best Alternative Performance at the Grammy Awards, the album had only sold about 830,000 copies in the United States by the end of the year, which leads the music industry to consider it a failure. The album nonetheless sold three times as many copies overseas. On the 30th of June 1998, the band embarked on a 17-date, 15-city charity North American tour in support of Adore. At each stop on the tour, the band donated 100% of ticket sales to a local charity organization. The tour's expenses were entirely funded out of the band's own pockets. All told, the band donated over $2.8 million to charity as a result of the tour. In 1999, the band surprised fans by reuniting with a rehabilitated Jimmy Chamberlain for a brief tour dubbed The Arising, which showcased both new and classic material. The lineup was short-lived, however, as upon completion of the album Machina, The Machines of God, the band announced the departure of Retzky in September. Former Hole bassist Melissa Ofdemar was recruited for the Sacred and Profane tour in support of the album and appeared in the videos accompanying its release. Released in 2000, Machina was initially promoted as the Pumpkins' return to a more traditional rock sound after the more gothic electronic-sounding Adore. The album debuted at number 3 on the Billboard charts, but quickly disappeared, and as of 2007, has only been certified gold. Music journalist Dim DeRogatis, who described the album as, quote, one of the strongest of their career, end quote, noticed that the stalled sales for Machina in comparison to teen pop ascendant at the time, quote, seems like concrete proof that a new wave of young pop fans has turned a deaf ear toward alternative rock, end quote. On the 23rd of May 2000, in a live radio interview on KROQ-FM Los Angeles, Billy Corgan announced the band's decision to break up at the end of that year, following additional touring and recording. The group's final album before the breakup, Machina 2, The Friends and Enemies of Modern Music, was released in September 2000 in a limited pressing on vinyl with permission and instructions for free redistribution on the internet by fans. Only 25 copies were cut, each of which was hand-numbered and given to friends of the band along with band members themselves. The album, released under the Constantinople Records label created by Corgan, consisted of one double LP and three 10-inch EPs. This is the only Smashing Pumpkins studio album that is not under an EMI-owned record label. Originally, the band asked Virgin to offer Machina 2 as a free download to anyone who bought Machina. When the record label declined, Corgan opted to release the material independently. On the 2nd of December 2000, the Smashing Pumpkins played a farewell concert at the Metro, the same Chicago club where their career had effectively started 12 years earlier. The four-hour-long show featured 35 songs spanning the group's career, and attendees were given a recording of the band's first concert at the Metro, live at Cabaret Metro 10588. The single, Untitled, was released commercially to coincide with the farewell show. Post-breakup, 2001-2004. In 2001, the compilation Rotten Apples was released. The double-disc version of the album, released as a limited edition, included a B-sides rarities collection called Judas. The Greatest Hits Video Collection DVD was also released at the same time, which compiled all of the Pumpkins' promo videos from Geesh to Machina, along with unreleased material. Euphoria was released on DVD in 2002, as was the soundtrack album Euphoria, previously released solely to radio stations in 1994. Billy Corgan and Jimmy Chamberlain reunited in 2001 as members of Corgan's next project, the short-lived supergroup Zwan. Their only album, Mary Star of the Sea, was released to generally positive reviews, but after canceling a few festival appearances, Corgan announced the demise of the band in 2003 under cloudy circumstances. During 2001, Corgan also toured as part of New Order and provided vocals on their comeback album Get Ready. In October 2004, Corgan released his first book, Blinking with Fists, a collection of poetry. In June 2005, he released a solo album, The Future Embrace. It was greeted with generally mixed reviews and lackluster sales. Only one single, Walking Shade, was released in support of the album. In addition to drumming with Zwan, Jimmy Chamberlin also formed an alternative rock jazz fusion project band called the Jimmy Chamberlin Complex. They released an album in 2005 titled Life Begins Again. Corgan provided guest vocals on the track Lokicat. James Iha served as a guitarist in A Perfect Circle, appearing on their 13th Step Club Tour and 2004 album Emotive. He has also been involved with other acts, such as Chino Moren's Team Sleep and Vanessa and the O's. He continues to work with his own record label as well, Scratchy Records. D'Arcy Retzky has not made any public statements or appearances, nor given any interviews since leaving the band in 1999. On the 25th of January 2000, she was arrested after she allegedly purchased 3 bags of crack cocaine, but after successfully completing a court-ordered drug education program, the charges were dropped. Corgan insisted during this period that the band would not reform, although when Zwan broke up, he announced, quote, "I think my heart was in Smashing Pumpkins. I think it was naive of me to think I could find something that would mean as much to me," end quote. On the 17th of February 2004, Corgan posted a bitter message on his personal blog, calling Retzky, quote, "a mean-spirited drug addict," end quote, and blaming Iha for the breakup of Smashing Pumpkins. On the 3rd of June 2004, he added that, quote, "the depth of my hurt from Iha is only matched with the depth of my gratitude," end quote. Iha responded to Corgan's claims in 2005, saying, quote, "no, I didn't break up the band. The only person who could have done that is Billy," end quote. Reunion, 2005 to present. On the 21st of June, 2005, the day of the release of his album, The Future Embrace, Corgan took out a full-page advertisement in the Chicago Tribune newspaper to announce that he planned to reunite the band. Quote, "For a year now, I have walked around with a secret I chose to keep. But now I want you to be among the first to know that I have made plans to renew and revive the Smashing Pumpkins. I want my band back, and my songs, and my dreams," end quote. While performing at various drum clinics across Europe in September 2005, Jimmy Chamberlin confirmed that a reunion tour was planned to begin next February, with a new album possibly to follow. In February 2006, MTV.com reported that Corgan and Chamberlin had signed a new management deal with Frontline Management, and Melissa Auf-der-Maur stated that the pair were currently working on an album of new material. On the 20th of April 2006, the band's authorized website, SmashingPumpkins.com, confirmed the reunion, stating, quote, "It's official. The Smashing Pumpkins are currently writing songs for their upcoming album, the first since 1999, end quote. The website later reported that the new album would be produced by Roy Thomas Baker, who produced many of Queen's albums, including A Night at the Opera. According to a MySpace blog posting by Jimmy Chamberlin on the 20th of October 2006, they finished work with Baker and had also enlisted help from producer Terry Date, who has worked with Deftones, Pantera, and Soundgarden. Corgan and Chamberlin were verified as participants in the reunion, but there was question as to whether other former members of the band would participate. In April 2007, Iha and Auf-der-Maur separately confirmed that they were not taking part in the reunion. Chamberlin would later state that Iha and Retzky, quote, "didn't want to be a part of," end quote, the reunion. The Smashing Pumpkins performed live for the first time since 2000 on the 22nd of May, 2007, in Paris, France. There, the band unveiled new members Jeff Schroeder and Ginger Reyes, who took over second guitarist and bassist duties respectively, as well as Lisa Harrington on keyboards. That same month, Tarantula was released as the first single from the band's forthcoming album. On the 7th of July, the band performed at the Live Earth concert in New Jersey. The band's new album, Zeitgeist, was released that same month on Reprise Records. The band's new album, Zeitgeist, was released that same month on Reprise Records, entering the Billboard charts at number 2. Chamberlain has confirmed that the Pumpkins will be going back into the studio to record a new album at the completion of the current tour. 2. Musical style and influences. The direction of the band is dominated by chief guitarist, lead vocalist, and principal songwriter Billy Corgan. Journalist Craig Cott wrote, quote, "The music of the Smashing Pumpkins would not be what it is without his ambition and vision, and his famously fractured relationships with his family, friends, and band members," end quote. Melissa Oftermar commented upon news of the group's reunion, quote, "Everyone knows Billy doesn't need too many people to make a Pumpkins record, other than Jimmy Chamberlain, who he has on board," end quote. Many of Corgan's lyrics for the Pumpkins are cathartic expressions of emotion, full of personal musings and strong indictments of himself and those close to him. Music critics were not often fans of Corgan's angst-filled lyrics. Jim DeRogatis wrote in a 1993 Chicago Sun-Times article that Corgan's lyrics, quote, "too often sound like sophomoric poetry," end quote, although he viewed the lyrics of later albums Adore and Machina as an improvement. The Smashing Pumpkins' distinctive sound, up until Adore, involved layering numerous guitar tracks onto a song during the recording process, a tactic that Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness co-producer Flood called, quote, "the Pumpkin Guitar Overdub Army," end quote. There were a few overdubbed parts on Geesh, but Corgan began to really explore the possibilities of overdubbing with Siamese Dream. Corgan has stated that Soma alone contains up to 40 overdubbed guitar parts. While Corgan knew many of the songs would be difficult or impossible to replicate from their recorded versions while in concert, in fact, some songs were drastically altered for live performance, he has explained the use of overdubbing by posing the question, quote, "When you are faced with making a permanent recorded representation of a song, why not endow it with the grandest possible vision?" End quote. This use of multilayered sounds was inspired by Corgan's love of 1970s arena rock bands Queen, Boston, and Electric Light Orchestra, as well as shoegaze, a British alternative rock style of the 1980s and early 90s that relied on swirling layers of guitar noise for effect. Melancholy co-producer Alan Mulder was originally hired to mix Siamese Dream because Corgan was a fan of his work producing shoegaze bands such as My Bloody Valentine, Ride, and Slowdive. Like many contemporary alternative bands, the Smashing Pumpkins utilized shifts in song dynamics, going from quiet to loud and vice versa. Husker Du's seminal album Zen Arcade demonstrated to the band how they could place gentler material against more aggressive fare, and Corgan made such shifts in dynamics central to the pursuit of his grand musical ambitions. Corgan said he liked the idea of creating his own alternative universe through sound that essentially tells the listener, quote, "Welcome to Pumpkin Land. This is what it sounds like on planet Pumpkin," end quote. This emphasis on atmosphere carried through to Adore, described as arcane night music in pre-release promotion, and the Machina albums, concept records that tell the story of a fictional rock band. The Pumpkins drew inspiration from a variety of other genres, some unfashionable during the 1990s among music critics. Corgan, in particular, was open about his appreciation of heavy metal, citing Dimebag Darrell of Pantera as his favorite contemporary guitarist. When one interviewer commented to Corgan and Ia that, quote, "Smashing Pumpkins is one of the groups that re-legitimized heavy metal," end quote, and that they were, quote, "among the first alternative rockers to mention people like Ozzy and Black Sabbath with anything other than contempt," end quote, Corgan went on to rave about Black Sabbath's Master of Reality and Judas Priest's Unleashed in the East. The song Zero, which reminded Ia of Judas Priest, is an example of what the band dubbed cyber metal. Post-punk and gothic rock bands like Joy Division, New Order, Bauhaus, The Cure, and Depeche Mode were formative influences on the band, which covered such artists in concert and on record. Psychedelic rock was also referenced often in the band's early recordings. According to Corgan, quote, "In typical Pumpkins fashion, no one at that point really liked loud guitars or psychedelic music, so of course, that's exactly what we had to do," end quote. Corgan acknowledged that a chord he jokingly claimed as the Pumpkin chord, a G-sharp octave chord at the 11th fret of a guitar with the low E string played over it, used as the basis for Cherub Rock, Drown, and other songs, was in fact previously used by Jimi Hendrix. Other early influences cited by Corgan include Cream, The Stooges, and Blue Cheer. Regarding the band's influence upon other groups, Greg Kot wrote in 2001, quote, "Whereas Nirvana spawned countless mini-Nirvanas, the Pumpkins remain an island unto themselves," end quote. Still, some artists and bands have mentioned the Pumpkins as an influence, such as Nelly Furtado and members of My Chemical Romance. My Chemical Romance vocalist Gerard Way has said that they patterned their career upon the Pumpkins, including music videos. The members of fellow Chicago band Kill Hannah are friends with Corgan, and lead singer Matt Devine has compared his group to the Pumpkins. 3. Music videos. The Smashing Pumpkins have been praised for being, quote, "responsible for some of the 90s most striking and memorable video clips," end quote, and for having, quote, "approached videos from a completely artistic standpoint rather than a mere commercial to sell albums," end quote. MTV's 2001 anniversary special, Testimony, 20 Years of Rock on MTV, credit the Pumpkins, along with Nine Inch Nails, with treating music videos as an art form during the 1990s. Corgan has said, quote, "We generally resisted the idea of what I call the classic MTV rock music video, which is like lots of people jumping around and stuff," end quote. The band worked with acclaimed video directors, including Kevin Kerslake, Samuel Baer, and most frequently, the team of Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris. Corgan, who was frequently heavily involved in the conception of the videos, said of Dayton and Faris, quote, "I know my initial versions were always darker, and they're always taking me into something a little kinder and gentler," end quote. Videos like Today, Rocket, and 1979 dealt with images taken from Middle American culture, albeit exaggerated. The group's videos so often avoid the literal interpretation of song lyrics that the video for 33, with images closely related to the words of the song, was created as an intentional stylistic departure. The band was nominated for several MTV Video Music Awards during the 1990s. In 1996, the 1979 and Tonight Tonight videos combined to win 7 VMAs, including the top award, Video of the Year, for Tonight Tonight. The video was also nominated for a Grammy at the 1997 ceremony. Fans reacted with equal fervor. Of the Tonight Tonight video, Corgan remarked, quote, "I don't think we've ever had people react like this. It just seemed to touch a nerve," end quote. 4. Discography. For additional information about the discography, see the article The Smashing Pumpkins Discography. A summary follows now. 28th of May, 1991. Gish, from Caroline Records. 27th of July, 1993. Siamese Dream, Virgin Records. 24th of October, 1995. Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, Virgin Records. 2nd of June, 1998. Adore, Virgin Records. 29th of February, 2000. Machina, The Machines of God, Virgin Records. 5th of September, 2000, Machina 2, The Friends and Enemies of Modern Music, Constantinople Records. 10th of July, 2007, Zeitgeist, Reprise Records. Please also see the articles entitled List of Alternative Rock Artists and Timeline of Alternative Rock. For more information about some of the topics within this article, see the articles entitled Alternative Rock, Billy Corgan, James Ia, Darcy Retzky, Jimmy Chamberlain, Shoegazer, The Marked, Caroline Records, and MTV Video Music Awards. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License, available at www.gnu.org/copyleft/fdl.html.